Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, Mount Zion, the 12th Hour. In the Elgin, Texas, today is April 28th, 2023, or it is ZIF 9, 2027. We're going to start our first service today with this. We're going to close now with a song entitled, My Faith Looks Up to Thee. Faith looks up to Thee, O Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine, Thou daily heart pray, take, O my gift of May. Let me from this day be holy fine. May the rich grace impart strength to my fainting heart, as it inspired. As Thou hast died for me, may my love to Thee go on and chancelessly a living fire. While I stuck may such a and grief around me spread. Be Thou my God, let darkness tend today, what sorrows tis away. Now let me ever stray from Thee all sight. When in lost transient dream, when this cold sorrow sweet shall o'er me roll, the Savior then in love there and distress remove. Oh, bear me safe above a ransomed soul. The title of our sermon today will be The Jews and the Christians' Faith in the Prophets. And when he says Christian, he's talking about the modern day Seventh Day Adventists more than anything. They're the number six protesters coming out of our cages, Adventist churches. They protested up until 1888, and they quit protesting. 40 years later, the Adventist church healed that woman in 1930 on that beast, on that Catholic church beast, because they stopped protesting in 1890 when they let the General Conference win that battle at the General Conference of 1888-1890. Jones and Wagner brought that message, righteous by faith, and the General Conference, Jesuit Catholic leaders of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists have stepped up and interfered with the message of Jones and Wagner, righteous by faith, the blood of the everlasting covenant. That's essentially what it was all about. Hebrews 10:19-20, and salvation through the blood of Yahshua. And they just didn't want it. And so they didn't have it. But today we want it, and so we're going to do The Jews and the Christians' Faith in the Prophets. If you have a day this summer, November 1946. And he says, let us turn now to the writings of the Gospel Prophet, our whom the Jews so maliciously sawed asunder. Okay, it says, Isaiah 1:18-19, come now and let us reason together, saith Yahshua. Though your sins be as a scarlet, they shall be white as the snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as the wool. If ye be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. It says, with this divine recommendation for Yahweh's professed people, the gospel prophet Isaiah was instructed for the introduction of his book, and now that we are living in the present-day application of his prophecy, we dare not neglect to comply with the inspirations, sound, and fair recommendation. Our first step shall be to honestly and unbiasedly consider the successes and the failures of those who have gone before us. Let us beforehand refresh our mind with the Jews' attitude toward the prophet, rather than going with the purpose of learning and reasoning. For the Jews went unto the prophets with the prejudice, just with the prejudiced minds, with the malice, with the hatred in their hearts, and with the instruments of cruelty. We must not. This evil spirit was prevalent among the Jews throughout their history. It was manifested even against the Moses, although for the 40 years he led the Hebrew host with the divine signs and wonders all the way from the brickyards of Egypt unto the borders of the promised land. For the remnant finally crossed the Jordan only because they wholeheartedly believed that the Moses was the Yahweh's mouthpiece, and because they ceased murmuring, took and obeyed orders, the Hebrews, even after deeply cherished his writings, Hebrews ever after deeply cherished his writings and his reverent regard for the Pentateuch, continued among the Jews even unto the days of the Yahshua. As a man of Yahweh and as the nation's emancipator and founder of his sacred ceremony, Moses was highly esteemed by all. Ironically, though, the prophets that followed after Moses were rejected by the Jewish nation as a whole. Those who survived in the Babylonian captivity did accept the prophets, Haggai and Zechariah, only because they were the founders of the movement then on foot, as was Moses in his day. For the Jews, according unto their own way of the reason, were the honest, though blind, and the concluding that they had no need of the prophets, because as they saw it, Moses' writings were complete. There was nothing lacking in them. They contained both the civil and the religious laws. They therefore saw no need for the greater light and no need of another prophet. Through their unbelief in the prophets, they failed to see that their kingdom was only a type of a greater one to come. That type and antitype. Okay. Therefore, they failed to see that the Yahweh's truth is progressive and ever unfolding, that each generation has to have added truth, especially adapted for the meeting of their particular needs. Their blindness to this was their basic sin that led them on to ruin. The writings says, on to ruin, while the Jews boasted of their faith in the Moses writings, Yahshua reprimanded them by saying, had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me, John 5:46. He had reference to Deuteronomy 18:15. For the Yahshua, thy king, or thy redeemer, will raise up, let's do that father bit here. For the Yahweh, the Father, thy Yahweh, will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him ye shall hearken. Of the coming Messiah, Zephaniah also wrote, Zechariah also wrote, Zechariah 9:9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of the Zion. Shout, O daughter of the Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. Well, that's Yahshua. He is just and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. Okay, we'll do Deuteronomy 18:15 over again. For the Yahshua, thy king, will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him you shall hearken. That's because our King Yahshua has come to earth, and he's in the midst of his kingdom. He sits upon the throne of David in his kingdom, Luke 1:32-33. Though they profess to believe in both Moses and Zechariah, yet they gave no heed unto any of these passages, and ever since a curse has rested upon them. In the rejection of the prophets, the Jews thought they were surely keeping out of the deception, and thought that they were thus actually loyal unto Moses' writing, and consequently unto Yahweh. This they believed as much as Yahshua's day, in the Yahshua's day, as the Israel believed in the Elijah's day. It says, let us now note that they fell into the ruin only because they refused to give heed unto the prophets who were sent to reform their ways, to correct their erroneous interpretations of the Moses writing, and to lighten the path of their feet the rest of the way, clear to paradise. Having deprived themselves of the gift of the spirit of prophecy, by doing away with the prophets, they completely cut off heaven's communication line and were thus left in the gross darkness and led into the error, fanaticism, and crime. They became self-sufficient, proud, boastful, and high-minded. They felt rich and increased with the goods and needed nothing more. Thus it was that their perversions of the scriptures by their uninspired interpretations of them caused them to lose the way and finally to reject and even to crucify their own long-expected Redeemer, Yahshua. 1 Corinthians, number 15, we're on page 6, part 2, of Moses' writing, the Jews made a mighty weapon against Yahshua and the prophets of that day. They were, however, at one time or another, forced to acknowledge that their dead fathers were guilty of the blood of the prophets. The same is true today. Many admit that sectarianism is thriving on the uninspired interpretation of the scriptures, yet they expect no inspired interpreter for this day. They thus reject the antithetical prophet Elijah even before his appearance though the scriptures definitely predicts his coming before the great and dreadful day of Yahshua, before the judgment of the living commences. If we accept inspirations of counsel, and some in reason, come and reason together, while we are examining our own standing with the prophets, then an excellent place to begin is Genesis 49:10. For the scepter shall not depart from the Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until the Shiloh come, and unto him shall the judgment of the people be. Here Moses wrote that the judgment of the people shall be under Judah, and that when Shiloh comes, Judah shall have a king and a lawgiver. Of her own, do we the Seventh Day Adventists believe, and this peculiar, particular part of the Moses writing? If not, then we have no better standing with the Moses than did the Jews. For the examining of our standing with the rest of the prophets, we need not depart from the study which Moses has introduced in the scepter I just quoted. Mark that between the writings of Moses and of Isaiah, the Bible contains the records of the history, the judges, and the king. Isaiah, then, is the next prophet after Moses that we shall go to. Isaiah 2:1-2. For the word that the Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem, and it shall come to pass in the last day that the mountain of Yahshua's house shall be established in the top of the mountain, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow under it. Tacoma Park, not to Mount Carmel Center, not to some other place, but unto the house of Judah and Jerusalem, shall the final convert from all nations flow. Isaiah, you plainly see, absolutely confirms that the gathering of the people shall be unto Judah. Do you? Jeremiah being the next prophet to Isaiah, we shall read. Jeremiah 31:6. For there shall be a day that the watchman upon the Mount Ephraim shall cry, Arise ye, and let us go up unto Zion unto the Yeshua our Redeemer. Mount Ephraim, you know, is the location of the ancient 10-tribe kingdom, Israel. According unto this scepter, or scripture, the kingdom of the Israel, which is still lost among the nations, shall someday emerge from the four corners of the earth and gladly join the kingdom of Judah. So shall the gathering of the people be. Jeremiah 31:7-8. For this saith the Yahshua, sing with the gladness, for the Jacob, and shout among the chief of the nations, publish you, praise you, and say, O Yahshua, save thy people, the remnant of Israel. Behold, I will bring them from the north country, and gather them from the coast of the earth, and with them the blind and the lame, the woman with the child, and her that travaileth with the child together, a great company, shall rehearse or return. That's it. Return thither. Jeremiah declares that the gathering unto Judah shall be from the four corners of the earth. Okay, indeed. Jeremiah, Moses, Isaiah, all three speak alike on the subject. For the question is, do you believe what they say? If not, are you then better than were the Jews? That's the Pharisees. Next, we are to test our standing with the prophet Ezekiel. 36:17-27. Son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt in their own land, they defiled it by their own way and by their doings. Their way was before me as the uncleanness of a removed woman. Wherefore I poured my fury upon them for the blood that they had shed upon the land, and for their idols wherewith they had polluted it, and scattered them among the heathen, and they were dispersed through the countries according unto their way and according unto their doing. I judged them, and when they entered in unto the heathen, whither they went, they profaned my holy name. When they said unto them, these are the people of the Yeshua, and are gone forth out of his land. But I had pity for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the heathen, whither they went. Therefore say unto the house of the Israel, thus saith the Yeshua, I do not this for your sakes, O house of the Israel, but for mine holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the heathen, whither you went. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which you have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Yeshua, saith the Yeshua, for I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. Therefore I will take you from among the heathen, and gather you out of all countries, and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I grate. So then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments, and to do them. What more could inspiration say to make the subject clearer? Yahweh plainly and solemnly promised to recreate and to rebuild the ancient kingdom, to set it up in its own land. This is he who is to do after Judah and Israel are scattered among the Gentile nations and assimilated by them, that they have lost their racial identity, then as the Christians, not as the Jews. He is to gather them from the four corners of the earth and to bring them unto their own land. And moreover, the scriptures teach that they are as the sand of the sea for a multitude. He is to do, you know, not because they are worthy, but because they had been a good before or during their dispersion among the Gentiles, and because he is anxious to sanctify his own name among the heathen. Still further, after he gathers them from all the countries and brings them into their own land, then it is that he promises to cleanse them eternally from the filthiness and from the idolatry, to remove all the deficits that sin has brought upon them. And it is that he gives them a new heart, puts his spirit upon them, and enables them to unanimously, or unavoidably, keep the judgments. Mark carefully that regardless of our ideas and opinions, all these things take place after Yahweh's people return to their father's land. For the 144,000 descendants of the Jacob, whose fathers were assimilated by the Gentile nation, and who thus, down through the centuries, lost their racial identity, are the first fruits, the first to be gathered unto Judah, for they are those who stand on the Mount Zion with the Lamb, Revelation 14:1. For the faithful descendants of the Jews, also composed of the early Christian church, and who also lost their national identity by the naming themselves as Christians, Acts 11:26, are also to be gathered from everywhere and brought in unto Judah. Finally, if these prophecies are not to be fulfilled, as the angel of the letter sin church supposes, and if Yahweh's people are not to return unto their homeland, then how will they ever be cleansed from their filthiness, since the cleansing is to be done there only? Now, will they ever have their hearts changed, and what is to make them keep his statutes and judgments, unless as a promise beforehand, receive his spirit in the promised land, and indeed of his prophecy, if these prophecies fail, men, now will Yahweh's people ever be able to stand before a pure and a holy Yahweh? And how will they ever obtain immortality and be on the schedule for the translation if they do not comply with the prophecies, with the or with his express will and plan for his people, and if they ignore these prophecies, the fulfillment of which is during the judgment for the living, the harvest, the gathering time, what chance do they then stand to survive that great and dreadful day of the Yahweh. To be more specific, if the denomination fails to recognize and accept these promises, then where are the laity to be led from here on? Certainly not to the kingdom. If the leaders do not believe in it, do you now believe in Moses and Isaiah and Ezekiel, or do you rather still believe in the fables devised by men? Next to Ezekiel is the prophet Daniel. Incidentally, let us remind ourselves that to begin with, Daniel did not prophesy to the Jews, but to the Chaldeans and to the Medes and the Persians. For the Jews accepted him as Yahweh's servant only as they saw his prophecies fulfilled. For the great question before us, however, is, do we fully believe in the prophet Daniel's writings? Let us see. Ivory palaces. But Yah has gone so wondrous fine, and made the texture fill, and fragrant sweet is the heart of mine. It's your loving thrill. Out of the ivory palace into a world of woe, on his great eternal love, may the Savior go. His life had also his sorrow sore, for all those had a part. And when I think of the cross he bore, my eyes with teardrops start. Out of the ivory palace into a world of woe, only his great eternal love made the Savior go. His garments too when cast he had dipped, with feeling in as tough, each time my feet in some sin has slipped, he took me from his claws. Out of the ivory palace into a world of woe, only his great eternal love made garments glorious he will come to open wide the door, and I shall enter my heavenly home to dwell forevermore. Of the ivory palace into a world of woe, only his great eternal
Savior, Savior.